Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. In these last few Sundays, we had been following the ministry of Jesus in the northern part of Israel, in the area of Galilee. See, Galilee is in the northern part of Israel, and Jerusalem, Judah, is on the south. Eventually, the Lord will move down to Jerusalem to meet his destiny. He will be crucified, and he will be buried, and he will rise from the dead. This is the mystery that he has been teaching his disciples starting last Sunday. You know, last Sunday we read and reflected on that scene in Caesarea Philippi where Jesus was asking, "Who do people say that I am?" And St. Peter, speaking on behalf of the apostles, the rest of the 12, said, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah of God." And Jesus agreed to that, you know, he says, received it very graciously. But then he began to explain what the Messiah is all about, what the Christ is all about. And he said exactly the same thing that we heard here today. He says, "The Messiah will suffer in the hands of the elders. He will be crucified. He will be buried. And on the third day, he will rise again." So that's the first proclamation of his passion, his death, and resurrection. This now is the second proclamation. And yet, as Jesus kept saying this wonderful prophecy of the triumph of his mission, remember, the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, or what we call the Paschal Mystery. Remember that. Paschal Mystery means passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. The Paschal Mystery is the triumph of his mission here on earth. That's why the Lord was insistent. This is the mission of the Messiah. But unfortunately, the apostles were not hearing it. Instead, they were blinded by their own personal ambition. He said they were on the way, and they heard the proclamation. And what did they do? Well, they started to turn to each other and started talking about, well, who is the greatest? Who will be the cabinet member of the Lord when his kingdom comes? You know, that's all they had. And we remember in the second reading today, James is saying, well, where there is self-ambition, there will be disorder. And so this is happening now. You know, the apostles, God bless them. The apostles, they're filled with what John in his first letter would say, the pride of life. The pride of life. And what is pride of life? Or simply pride. What is that? Well, you and I, all of us, we are all too familiar with that particular vice. You know, the pride of life, pride. Well, St. Thomas Aquinas would define pride as arrogating to oneself the prerogatives of God. So, in a sense, what we're doing when we are prideful, we make little gods of ourselves. And why is this evil? Well, this is the root of the original sin. Remember in Genesis, our first parents, you know, the Lord gave them everything. And then he said, you may eat of all of the fruits of the trees of paradise, except for this one, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You may not eat of it, you know, because, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. Well, those are attributes of God. God is the one who is the measure of what is good and what is evil. And so God is saying, don't take the fruit of this tree. He says, don't be little gods yourselves. But what happened? What happened after that? Well, they grasped. They arrogated for themselves that which belongs to God. And so original sin set in. And we are in trouble. So that's what happens, huh? When we... And then we continue. When we become little gods, when we look at ourselves as the all important being in the universe, what happens? Well, we begin to be drawn in on ourselves. Everything is about me. Everything is about me. The world, the universe revolves around me. Everything. And our vision is turned in on our own agenda, on our own plans. That's what happens. Saint Augustine calls that curvatus in se, to bend in on oneself. And that's not nice. And that's not good. Because you don't notice the world around you. You don't notice the gifts that is being given to you. That's what's happening with the apostles here. You see, they are turned in on themselves. So who is important? Am I important? Should I be on the right hand? Should I be on the left? They are turned in on themselves that they're no longer noticing the great gift that is being given to them, the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. Well, the Paschal mystery, the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ is the key that opens heaven for all of us. Remember, because of original sin, heaven was closed. We are not permitted to go to heaven. Even Moses could not enter heaven after he died because it was closed. And now Jesus is saying, I am coming. I am doing this. We will accomplish the desire of the ages finally is here. The Paschal mystery. But they did not notice it. They did not notice it. That's what happens, my friends. When we are turned in on ourselves, when we are curvatus in se. And so now Jesus invites them to have a bigger vision. That instead of looking at your own ambitions, your own agenda, your little plans, you know, metanoia. You know, be metanoia. And what does metanoia mean? You know, we often say metanoia means a conversion. You know, 360 degrees turn. But there is something better, a definition, something better than that. Metanoia is to live in the big self. You see, nous is self, and meta is beyond. So we say metanoia is to live beyond yourself, to live in the big self. Well, what is that big self? That big self is God. When we are open, just like a little child, you know, a little child is very trusting on his or her parents. They're very trusting, you know. The little child does not care for what's going to happen next, but he or she knows and believes and have confidence that the parents will provide. You know, so that's a sense of metanoia. You know, they live on the big self. Now what's the advantage of living in the big self? Well, I mentioned this already. When we are so bent in on ourselves and looking only at our own interest, we see a very finite vision of the world and reality. But when we are living in the big self which is the mind of God, we see through eternity. We see a bigger horizon opening up for us because we are seeing the world through the mind, through the eyes of God. That's what it means. That's what it means to have the eyes of a child. You see, the antidote to the pride of life is, you know this already, humility. There are seven cardinal virtues. The first is humility. And why is humility the first? Because the virtue of humility is the foundation for all other virtues. And that is why the Lord is insistent for them to be humble. It's the foundation of all other virtues. To all of us here who are trying to be holy, all of us here who are trying to grow in virtue, let us make sure that we cultivate humility first. Now, what is humility? When we speak of humility, sometimes our definition falls short. Because when we say, oh, you must be humble, we say, oh, it means I know nothing. You know, you can step on me because I am nothing. No, That's not humility. Sometimes that attitude, you know, oh, I am nothing, you know, I don't count for anything. Sometimes that's pride too. That's false humility. But true humility that the Lord is trying to teach His apostles and us, true humility is knowing what your gifts are and living by the gift that you were given. That's humility. That's true humility. You know, you are rooted in your own person. You know who you are, and you live from that. In the work of Dante, in the Divine Comedy, he has an image of the seven-story mountain. You know, the purgatory where the sinners are given their punishment. Punishment so that they could learn, so that they can ascend to heaven. The punishment for the prideful is they're given a huge boulder to carry on their shoulders. You know what happens when you're carrying a big boulder? Not that I have carried a big boulder, but I've seen drawings of it. When you're carrying a big boulder, you are forced to bend down, to look down. And that's what the prideful in purgatory were doing. They were walking about carrying big boulders, and they were looking down. Looking down to where? Looking down to the earth. Looking down to the earth. The Latin for earth is humus, where we got the word humility. So, to be humble is to look down and behold yourself, the truth about yourself, that nothing in you, nothing in us, we work for ourselves, we gain for ourselves. No! Everything is given. Everything is given by the Lord. And so there's no need to be prideful. There's no need to be prideful. The call of the liturgy today, the call of word and sacrament today, is to lift up our vision from the vision of ourselves alone, away from being bent over our own ambitions, just like the apostles, but to look up and see that the world is going about us with all its gifts, with all its wonders. Only in being humble, only in being like a child, will we be able to experience that. the Lord has a wonderful gift. The Lord is giving us eternity itself, and we will see that in a few minutes when we pray the prayer of consecration, when we will offer to the Father the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. May our humble vision direct us to the glory that is in us, that is before us, and have the mind of a child to see and behold the goodness of the Lord, which is unfolding before us, but can only be seen through the eyes of a child.